Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside. We are glad to be with you once again this evening, Thursday night, which is finally night one of the NBA Finals. The Stanley Cup starting last night, as you saw in overtime, the Edmonton Oilers getting the victory over the Florida Panthers in a really good game and a nice comeback put on by Edmonton. It's going to need to be a comeback again for the Pacers if they are going to beat the Thunder tonight. Although the lead is not that absurd, it's certainly something that the Pacers can come back from, a lead that they have come back from before. It's 61-48. We are just underway in the third quarter as the Thunder at home are trying to do what they've been doing for pretty much every game in the playoffs, and that's win game one at home. The Pacers have been very good, though, at winning game one on the road in these playoffs, so we'll see what comes to shove here. 61-50, as I update it, with Halliburton just making a shot. I think there's a lot of good that has happened for the Thunder in the first half. And it feels like this feels like a game that the Thunder, I'll just say right now and put it on record, it feels like a game that the Thunder are going to win. It feels like a game that the Pacers very much could win, though. And the big thing that happened in this first half is there were a lot of turnovers. Indiana turned over the ball a lot. 19 times they turned it over. Absurd. Obi Toppin throwing it into the backcourt, moving screens, just getting pickpocketed. 19 turnovers in a game is a lot. 19 turnovers in a half is pretty wild. The Thunder only turned it over four times in that first half. On those four turnovers, Indiana got 4 points. On the Pacers, 19 turnovers, Oklahoma City only got 9 points. Oklahoma City took 18 more shots than Indiana, and yet their lead at halftime was only 12. So the way the first half went should have been catastrophic for the Pacers, but it wasn't, and it's given them enough of a cushion for them to do Pacers things as they've been doing in these playoffs. I still think the Thunder are the better team. On defense tonight, they've been swarming. They have been taking away lanes. I believe Mike Breen on the broadcast said it's like playing against six guys out there. The passes that the Pacers have been able to get against the Bucks, the Cavs, the Knicks, they're not necessarily able to get those against the Thunder here tonight. But the Pacers have weapons. The Pacers have guys that can make big shots. The Pacers are really good at stopping the other team's momentum. So this is going to be a game that if the Thunder want to win, they need more than a 10-point, 12-point lead. They need to make that 20, and they need to put the Pacers away. You can't give them any semblance of a shot, or they're going to believe that they come back. And you know what? They probably will come back, because how many records have fallen in these playoffs alone where a team that was this many and one, or this many and oh, they become the first one to lose in that situation with a certain amount of time on the clock, with a certain amount of lead that they have. The Pacers have just been very, very good at coming back when needed. So this would be one of those games that they need to come back down right now, and we'll see how this game goes. So this is something we're going to follow, obviously, tonight. I'm going to do my very, very best to broadcast the show while also being completely locked in on the screen. So gotta use left brain and right brain. Basketball, I think, is the hardest one for me to do this because it's so chaotic, it's so quick, and you're trying to follow everything. Football, there's at least like TV timeouts and period to rest. Baseball, of course, is baseball. Hockey can be pretty chaotic too, but there's not as much scoring. Basketball, it's just like okay, it's 10, now it's 8, now it's 6, now it's 5, now it's 10. It's very back and forth. But I am a professional, and I will do it for you. Plus, I've got a very easy subject matter for me to talk about with you right off the bat, and that is, guess who? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, according to all reports. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We do have a Bartometer tonight. Bartometer, we're going to look at, I told it to give me the most hated championship teams of the 21st century. Every team now has been since 2010 that it's spit out for me, so we're going to adjust it. So most hated championship team since 2010 will be the Bartometer here tonight. That'll be in about an hour. And then again, plenty more to discuss, whether it's the Knicks coaching search or maybe happy day finally for White Sox fans. Plenty to get into tonight along with these NBA finals. Again, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So that's the reporting, is that Aaron Rodgers has told the Steelers that he's coming and he's going to sign a contract and he's going to be a member of the Steelers in time for their mandatory minicamp, which is next week. Mandatory minicamp begins on Tuesday. Thursday is when it goes to. 3 days of mandatory minicamp. They just wrapped up their OTAs, and now they have minicamp. So I was right, and I was wrong. I was right in that Rodgers was going to sign with the Steelers when he was ready to sign with the Steelers. And I'm really not trying to take a victory lap on that, because it was so obvious to everybody. But apparently it wasn't. I think it was obvious to a lot of you. I think, you know, it was obvious to the NFL when they put their schedule together. I think it was obvious to a lot of people that follow Aaron Rodgers or follow the Steelers that this was going to be a marriage that happened. If Aaron Rodgers was going to retire, he would have probably said, I'm retired by now. The Steelers did not draft anybody early. Drafting Will Howard, sure, later in the draft. But they brought back Mason Rudolph, who's the perfect, like, just get us through OTAs kind of guy. This was very apparent that it was going to happen. Now, I did think it would happen a little later. So credit to Rodgers for actually coming to the mini camp. I had somebody send me the dates of Steelers training camp, which is getting started on Thursday, July 24th. And they asked me, when do you think Rodgers will become a Steeler? And I said, okay, Thursday, July 24th. I'm going to go Friday, July 25th. I thought he'd come one day after they got started. I thought he'd want to be a Steeler. I thought he wouldn't want to go through the whole summer of it. Not just like actually showing up and practicing, but the sooner he gets with a team, the more he's going to be like responsible for being a member of that team. He's going to have to learn some of Arthur Smith's playbook. He's going to have to get along and get in line with Mike Tomlin. He can't just come and be the savior and be all Aaron Rodgers about it, where my offense is, I just play Aaron Rodgers football. Here's what I'm going to draw, the routes on my hand. You go deep, you go deep, you cross. I'll find whoever I want, probably a lot of the times DK Metcalf. So that's what I thought it would be, and that's why I thought it would be a while before we saw him actually sign. Now, it was still much further out than a lot of people thought it would be. And again, I don't mean you. I very specifically want to shame and admonish and scold the people that bring you the NFL news, the beat writers, the insiders, the Schefters, the Rappaports, the Garofolos, the Silvers, the Russinis. All of these people knew this was going to happen at some point. All of these people reporting the news today as, finally, Rodgers signs. Finally, it's not finally. It's actually sooner than it probably was figured to happen if you just would, A, listen to anything Rodgers had to say, and B, follow every other breadcrumb. He came, he visited the Steelers. The Vikings have moved on. The Giants have moved on. The Steelers have left a spot open on the roster for him. This was inevitable. Whether it's the right move or not, we'll talk about and we can figure out. But this was inevitable. There is no surprise to this. There is no shock to this. The only surprise, again, that I have is I thought it would happen later in the summer, and instead he's going to show up for minicamp. I don't trust that Adam Schefter whining the first day of free agency was doing that in good faith. I think he just wanted to get that Twitter money and get a nice March check because maybe he had an anniversary for April or something. I don't know. Now, interestingly enough, the news comes on a day where it probably got buried a little bit on Twitter, but them's are the shakes. I mentioned the schedule. It's a very interesting schedule for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL figured that Aaron Rodgers would be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And even if they are saying they didn't, they did. Case in point is week 8. The Green Bay Packers have the Steelers on the schedule. That game's on Sunday Night Football. It's in Pittsburgh. It's on Sunday Night Football. They're AFC, NFC foes. It's the one meeting that they're going to have. This is written in the stars to be on Sunday Night Football. And I believe the schedule makers are like, well, we just think it's a good matchup. You know, it's a good matchup. No, they knew Aaron Rodgers would be a member of the Steelers. They give you Sunday Night Football week 8. And that might not even be the most anticipated matchup that he's going to have. Yes, it will be, I mean, huge. It's Aaron Rodgers back up against the Green Bay Packers. And you could say it didn't end well because he had to move on and they went with Jordan Love. But there's been 2 years' time since that's passed. When Brett Favre went from Green Bay to the Jets to Minnesota, it was a one-year layover. The Jets are kind of like, all right, see ya. He went with Minnesota. That's where he wanted to go all along. So Minnesota, Brett Favre versus Green Bay 1 year later, that had a lot of feeling behind it. Aaron Rodgers 2 years later, playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team that he actually beat in the Super Bowl with Green Bay, you know, it's still going to be a crazy matchup. It's going to be nuts. But it's not going to have the angst or animosity that maybe Favre did when he took on the Packers. Where the real angst and animosity may come is actually week 1. When Rodgers, I'm probably going to do that a lot. When Rodgers has to go back to New York to take on the Jets, a team that it ended very poorly. And they got a new coach and they've moved on. And look at that. Who's their quarterback? Justin Fields, the former Steelers quarterback. Essentially a swap situation. So very interesting, but again, not surprising. The only reason that it feels like a surprise is people keep trying to tell you that it's a surprise. And I've been trying to tell you that it's not. So we're here, where we always would be. Aaron Rodgers is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get out to Robert, 888-710-4476. What's up, Robert?
Not much. Help me be positive, Bart. I mean, I'm kind of a cynical old dude, and I'm thinking this guy has nothing left in his bag of tricks, so why should I care? Help me out.
Well, you should care. You should care because it's interesting. Other than that, I don't think this is going to make the Steelers really any like tangibly better or tangibly worse than they would have been. Now, I say that this version of Aaron Rodgers, whatever it is that the Steelers are getting, is better than Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph's bad.
But Mason Rudolph was a great golfer, you know, 40 years ago. He's dead now. The dude that came out of Oklahoma State, he is nothing but a scout team quarterback. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but,
so this so Rodgers is better than him.
He must have naked pictures of Tomlin or the Rooneys. He's terrible, okay? All right, I don't mean to be that cynical, but tell me how Rodgers at 42 and a half has got anything left in that shoulder. His balls will come in. I'm talking about his footballs. will come in short of their targets. You got me. And I mean, you know, you saw. Hey, listen, here's the thing. I love the Packers. I'm an old Packers guy. I mean, I go back to Bart Starr, Zeke Bratkowski, whatever. Fill in the blank. I'm a geezer. My daughters weren't driving when this guy came into the league, okay? And they're middle aged now. Sure. So you get me? And by the way, the most hated team for me that won during this 21st century, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. I woke up, they were winning 39-6, and I lost 50 on. That's too personal. But yeah. I love you guys. Keep doing all your right. great work, Bart.
Bye. Robert, now. thanks for the call. I'll attempt to answer Robert's question why Steelers fans should be excited about this, but I think they know not to be, or I think that they know that there's a ceiling that comes along with this. The Steelers are going to be better with this version of Aaron Rodgers than Mason Rudolph. But is it worth signing him to do what? To go 10-7? To lose in the playoffs again like you do every time you make it since 2016? Is there a sliver of hope that I'm wrong? Is there a sliver of hope that this is the guy to get Mike Tomlin back on the winning side in the postseason? That the Aaron Rodgers that was winning MVPs is more the Aaron Rodgers that they're going to get rather than the guy who was getting sacked every time that he felt pressure with the Jets. We're going to find that out just like we were always going to find that out. And so the news of the day, not a surprise, but it is now set to be official. 888-710-4ISN. We'll be back. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
A little bit from country hit maker Dylan Scott and his new album, Easy Does It, is available now. What He'll Never Have from country music star Dylan Scott here on the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Keeping our eye on the Indiana Pacers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. I hope NBA championship is what Tyrese Halliburton will never have. I'm gonna be fair. Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna be fair about this finals. I'm not gonna do any fandom thing. I'm just going to watch it and commentate. I've done the Pacers thing before. God, I hate them. Did you see that rebound? They had 19 turnovers in the first half, and Oklahoma City only had 9 points off of those. That's, you know, everybody's talking about that's not a good recipe for Indiana. That's exactly what Indiana does. They give you that opening, and then you don't take it fully, and they're going to be within 6 points. That's what they're going to do. I'm literally doing the J.R. Smith thing or the LeBron version when J.R. Smith took the ball and ran away, looking at my TV screen in stunned silence. SGA coming through, always does. Knocks down a three. All right, after three, it's 85-76 with the Thunder on top of the Pacers. More on that a little later. Bartometer tonight. Most hated championship team since 2010. There's some solo champions. There's also some teams that we might have to kind of lump together and just pick one of the teams that we hated with some of these multiple winners. Could be some interesting omissions, but we'll do that later. And that's a result of my dislike for one of these teams, but also the country's dislike for Oklahoma City. The country is behind Indiana on this one. That's what all the people are betting. That's what all the polls are suggesting. The country's watching this and they want Indiana. Maybe they see them as the underdog. Oklahoma City, they're getting a lot of flack for still having moved from Seattle. And I think they're getting more than the Ravens did with Cleveland because, you know, 3 years later, Cleveland got the Browns back and Seattle still without the Supersonics. And so it still feels wrong in a way to root for the Thunder. It, you know, it's not going to feel that wrong to see Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers jersey, I think, for me, because maybe it's just been Photoshopped so much that I'm used to it. And he'll probably wear number 8. Terry Bradshaw's number 12 is retired, and he didn't take 12 from Namath, so he'll probably stick with 8. 8 is worn by, they have a punter that wears 8 right now. And so he'll have to probably make a penny to sell that. I'm not sure that he is even going to make the team, but I believe one of their punters is wearing the number 8. Corliss Waitman, third season. They got two punters on their roster, so we'll see. Maybe Rodgers just shows up wearing number 3 or 1 or 4 or whatever, and then switches later on if he wants to save a few bucks, because we don't know what he's going to sign for. Aaron Rodgers has told the Steelers, according to reports, that he's going to show up, I guess, tomorrow and sign so that he's ready for minicamp, which will be starting on Tuesday. So what does that mean for the Steelers? What does that mean for them? Are they going to be good? Are they a playoff team now? Their odds, Super Bowl odds, AFC North odds, a lot of that sort of went unchanged. Increased a little bit, but nothing worth dissecting for you. They're still probably going to be what they've been the last 10 years, and so that's why you might wonder, well, what was the point then? Because for the longest time with Mike Tomlin, he had Ben Roethlisberger. So Tomlin takes over for Bill Cowher. He's got Big Ben. They go to a Super Bowl and they win it. A couple of years later, they go to a Super Bowl and lose. Mike Tomlin lost to Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl 15 years ago. That's wild. And then they still had some years with Big Ben where they go to divisional playoffs or even AFC championship games, but can't get back to a Super Bowl. Big Ben retires. They cycle through some guys. They draft Kenny Pickett. They try Mason Rudolph. They do the year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And they still have not had a losing season as a franchise since 2003 when they went 6-10 the year before they go 15-1 and then the year before Bill Cowher won a Super Bowl. Every year since then, they've at least had a winning record. Tomlin's had, or at least not a losing record. Tomlin's had a few seasons of 500 in 2012, 2013, and then 2019. But even in this post-Big Ben world, he still finds a way to go 9-8 or 9-7-1 or 10-7 the last couple of years. And they make the playoffs, but they have not won a playoff game since they beat the Chiefs back in 2016, the 2016 season in January of 2017. They've been to the playoffs 5 times since, losing wildcard games to Jacksonville, the Browns, the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. So what are the Steelers trying to do? Is that the goal? If the goal is we want to keep this streak alive of having a winning season, Aaron Rodgers is going to give us a better chance to do that than Mason Rudolph. I don't know. I could go through a list and try to figure out who I'd rather have, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers or the team's starting quarterback. But there's a lot of teams that kind of had decided that they'd rather have the guy that they have. Otherwise, they would have maybe made a call for 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers are absolutely a team that should have contacted Rodgers, and they did. Mason Rudolph is not good. And they've got Will Howard, who they can give some snaps to. But other than that, this is not a team that, with that current quarterback group, Skylar Thompson being the other name there, is going to win anything. Now, do you think of it in that lens? Do you think, well, why do you need Aaron Rodgers then? If he's going to make the team better, maybe we don't want the team to be better. Maybe we need a year where we're bad. Maybe get rid of this above 500 stuff. Maybe be bad, get a higher draft pick, and then draft a quarterback in next year's draft class, which is going to be highly touted. Because there's no quarterback of the future yet here, and that's been their problem since Ben retired, is who's going to be the quarterback of the future. Last year, they went with Justin Fields on a one-year deal, or had 1 year left, but then they signed Russell Wilson, And I thought, okay, well, you know, Justin Fields is still relatively young. Maybe you have something with him. But then they ran Russell Wilson out there, and he did give the team more of an air attack. But they also limped into the playoffs and then lost and then moved on from both of them. So last year was not an answer. This year, then, they didn't have a high draft pick, but they still had a chance to draft Shedeur Sanders or even Jackson Dart. He was the other guy taken in the first round, but they passed on that. They did get Will Howard later on in the draft. So, you know, maybe six-round pick, maybe they Tom Brady'd this one. Brady 199, Howard was 185. Okay, maybe. But if the end game is going to be Steelers go 9-8 or 10-7 and get into the playoffs and they lose, who's this really for? Is it for Mike Tomlin to just continue to keep his job because the Rooneys don't want to shake the apple cart if they don't have to? Is it for Aaron Rodgers to be able to go out on a better high note? Because his last year with the Jets, statistically, it was not offensive, but he was not very productive. They lost a lot of games that you thought they could have won. He got sacked a lot. He held onto the ball too much. His TD interception ratio was fine. He put up a lot of yards, but they didn't win more than five games. So is it for him to go out on a high note? I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to be somebody that continues to play football until he can't, because I don't know what else he wants to do with his life. I guess he could just be a professional podcast guest, maybe, or start one of his own. I don't know. There's some money in that, it seems, if you got a big enough following. But I really don't know what kind of following Aaron Rodgers has. I don't know. Would people download the Aaron Rodgers show weekly if he's talking to some of the, I don't want to say brightest minds in the game, but if he's talking to other human beings? I don't know. It seems like he's not going to be the kind of guy that is willing to sit on a panel or break down games in the booth. So what is he going to do? Which is a shame, because Aaron Rodgers talking football is incredible. Aaron Rodgers talking football and the photographic memory he has of, and that's why he still can do some things, but that's also a hindrance because he's got a photographic memory. There's going to be plays where like DK Metcalf lines up and Rodgers is going to try to telepathically want him to run a route that Davante Adams would have at one time, or Jordy Nelson at one time. And DK's going to be like, bro, we worked together a few times in the offseason. I don't know all of your plays. If Aaron Rodgers' brain could be in the receivers and they could think of all these plays and have all these moments, well, then there'd be a lot of receptions. The locker room would be weird as hell, but there'd be some productivity on the football field. I think that's why Devontae ended up going back to the Jets, or Rodgers wanted that, and a guy like Alan Lazard stayed with there. But this is going to be a whole new group of guys. This team, the Steelers team, traded George Pickens. Their receiver room right now is DK Metcalf. Robert Woods has ended up here. Calvin Austin. Roman Wilson they still like from a couple of years ago. The running back room, they got rid of Najee Harris, so it's Jaylen Warren. Drafted Caleb Johnson, Kenneth Gainwell. The offensive line still can use a little bit of work. And then Pat Freiermuth's the tight end along with Darnell Washington. And I don't know, maybe Jonnu Smith. So the optimism and the hope and the expectations for the Steelers, I don't think have changed too much. I don't think it's that different from what it was prior to him signing, even if we didn't think he was going to sign. Even if you didn't think he would sign, if you thought, no way, it's not a scenario. A Steelers team with Mason Rudolph, I mean, they still probably were going to run the ball a lot. Probably short, quick passes. You know, Rodgers will be able to stretch it a little deeper, but he's got to build chemistry with these guys. Long term, is this a move that's going to help the Steelers? Probably not. It just keeps them running stationary. There's a treadmill team. They're running in place. Not slowing down, but not going anywhere. They're just right where they are. It seems productive, but you haven't moved. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll get more into this throughout the night. You guys can chime in on that, certainly. Bartometer coming up in about 25. We'll have reaction from Thunder and Pacers once that one goes final. And a bulletin blitz coming up straight ahead. Right now, let's get an update from Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Rodgers steps up, looks downfield, got a man in the end zone. The ball is picked off by Richard Sherman in the back of the end zone.
The biggest voices in sports.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get.
The heartbreak.
Signals being called. Here's the snap. High snap. Placement made. Kick end over end to the uprights. And it is good. The San Francisco 49ers advance.
The celebrations.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
How about that open on a day where Aaron Rodgers finally ends the long national nightmare that only Bart saw coming, where he would eventually sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's the news of the day.
Aaron Rodgers, I think a lot more people saw it coming. We were just, our voices were silenced by these NFL insiders that were mad that they didn't get this content as soon as they wanted. I really don't understand. We had Adam Schefter crying the morning of free agency, like whining that he hadn't signed already, saying, "How long does it take for you to figure out what's for breakfast?" Like, dude, figure it out. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And by the way, this is the Bulletin Blitz. It is Thursday, June 5th, 2025. I did not feel right continuing the rest of this segment if I did not do my usual stick. So after Aaron Rodgers' news of the day, no audio there. I'm sure he'll speak next week when he'll talk about this is where he always wanted to be and blah, 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 and I don't care. Let's go back to last night. We had a game for the ages, possibly might be the precursor to a series of the ages in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Oilers are ahead in the Stanley Cup Final. The team drew first blood with a 4-3 overtime victory from Edmonton. Leon Draisaitl, he's your game-winning hero, scored on a power play with about 30 seconds left. He also tied an NHL record with his third overtime winner in the same postseason run. Here's Draisaitl saying the whole team helped him on his game-winning goal.
I'm the beneficiary, but the work is done way before that. It's four really good plays in a row, pairs with a great play to Dable, and then an amazing pass over. Then obviously I'm the beneficiary, but lots of great plays on that play.
Well, and it was a power play goal, and it came with 30 seconds left about at the end of the overtime period. And I'm not accusing Florida of, like, being lax, thinking we're going to go to another period, but it can happen sometimes is when you think, okay, let's kind of regroup and get it set. But it's a power play. You got to stop them, and they weren't able to do it. So good on Edmonton to get it done. They won game one, which is usually a good sign. Teams that have won game one of a best of seven Stanley Cup playoff series anytime in the playoffs, not just the actual cup, have a 68% chance then of winning the series. In these playoffs, the team that has won game one has gone 9-3. So if you're looking for stats, if you're looking for edges, if you're looking for numbers, better to be the winner of game one than the loser, of course.
And speaking of losers, let's go to head coach of the Florida Panthers, Paul Maurice. Even though his team lost, remember, they were up 3-1 earlier in this game. So Edmonton had to storm back in order to tie it in regulation, obviously win it in overtime. He says this has a potential to be a spectacular series.
It's potential just a spectacular seven-gamer right up and down the ice. It's still fast. There's not any casualness, and there's no BS in either team's game. The pucks go deep that are supposed to go deep. I mean, I think we had one all night we didn't like, maybe two all night that we didn't like our decision at the line. They didn't fool around with it either. It was honest. It was hard. It was fast. And it was tight. It was an overtime game.
Well, it's going to be still in Edmonton, obviously, as game one was. Game two is as well in these playoffs. Florida 8-2 on the road. So they got to play in a way that's going to disrupt not just Edmonton, but the Edmonton crowd. Play chaotic, draw penalties, whatever you can do to kill the enthusiasm in there is going to be to their benefit. Because, as I mentioned, you win game one, you're more likely than not, two out of three times, essentially, to win the series. So would like to get one before they come back the, 4,000-mile return trip down to Miami.
Yeah, that travel period is going to be brutal for both teams. I mean, ugh. Let's go to the Ryan Hickey hex. If you don't believe that it's real, where he mushes pretty much everything he touches, I want everyone to be reminded or informed, if you don't already know, that Ryan Hickey is an Indianapolis Colts fan. So, news today, other than Aaron Rodgers, very appropriate for Hickey's hex. Anthony Richardson, in the middle of a quarterback battle with Daniel Jones, he's aggravated the right shoulder joint he injured in 2023. He's going to be sidelined for pretty much the rest of OTAs. He's going to miss really an undetermined amount of time. Here's head coach Shane Steichen on Richardson's shoulder.
Last week in practice, Anthony sustained an injury in his throwing shoulder. Felt some pain in it. Doctors, trainers checked it out. He's got some aggravation in his AC joint. So we're going to set him out this week. Obviously, he'll sit out for mini camp. We'll see when he comes back. Not going to put a timetable for training camp on it. But when he does come back, we'll ease him into throwing. And then we'll go from there. The good thing is, he's not going to need a procedure right now.
Ryan Hickey, who you can hear on Writer Than You with Bill Ryder here on the Infinity Sports Network, reacted to the news saying, bring on the Arch Manning or Drew Allar era.
I'm sorry, you want to try that again?
Don't be a jerk. Drew Allar.
Oh, Drew, you know what? Drew Allar does sound better.
I knew I said it wrong as soon as I did. And then I thought to myself, should I correct it or should I just keep moving on because it's Drew Allar? And then you said, want to try that again, like I said, Brett Favre.
That is how you say Brett Favre.
I'm a little on edge right now. The Pacers.
No, you don't say.
They went on a 12-2 run.
6-point game.
When Miles Turner's banking threes. I tried to scream through the television to the Thunder You can't keep them around. Has nobody watched a Pacers game? Has nobody seen them do this? Time and time again. Ryan Hickey, for what it's worth, also tweeted Thunder in six.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm screwed. I said Thunder in four. Give me the Pacers in seven now. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, Hickey. All right, let's see if we can get one more in here. Let's go to everybody's fantasy darling, and I say that sarcastically because I've been waiting for this guy for 5 years. Ravens signed Rashad Bateman, wide receiver.
Sorry, I snapped at you.
No, you will be. Ravens signed wide receiver Rashad Bateman to a 3-year, $36 million deal. Words are hard. Who am I to correct you? But yeah, Bateman gets his bag. The only problem with Bateman is just the dude's never healthy. But, you know, here he is. He's talking about his extension timeline with the team.
You know, it was just two parties kind of met. We kind of been negotiating since the end of the season. And, you know, it was something that both parties wanted to do. And it just made sense for both of us. And we worked it out. So I'm happy to be here, blessed and fortunate. So keep chasing the Super Bowl.
Look. Teams need number two receivers. And Rashad Bateman is a pretty good number two receiver.
Might be a three.
So, let me look at his stats here. 46 catches, 515.
Cute.
The next year he was hurt.
Yep.
The next year it was 32 catches, 367.
Ugh.
And then last year, 45 catches, 756 with 9 touchdowns.
Yeah. $36 million is get you that. Wow.
3-year deer, $12 million per.
You're lucky I didn't jump on that one.
Do you see why you need to be a running or a wide receiver and not a running back?
Seriously, that's Saquon money.
I mean, if you had 756 yards rushing, you get like a $3.5 million deal. You get that as a receiver, you get $20 million guaranteed and $37 million over the next three. All right, I'm going to try to do a Bartometer without completely having my head explode. It's just very hard to watch these kind of games. Wow, it's hard. I'm not gonna pretend it's not. I'm locked in to this game. It's hard. Won't you feel bad for me? It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.